right. Welcome. It's your lunch hour. Mr. Credit here. Guaranteeing to make you smarter than everyone else. Going to do a whole lot of that today. As we're joined in studio by board-certified tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn from KahnTaxLaw.com. Jeff, what's up, my friend?
Hey, Derek. How you doing?
Great to have you here, my friend. Just a ton of opportunity being created in the world of taxes these days, especially with the recent Supreme Court ruling on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, giving same-sex couples a tremendous opportunity, both looking forward and, in some cases, looking backward as well.
Correct.
And we're going to talk a whole lot about that today. Dow Jones Industrial Average nearing all-time highs right now. The Dow Jones is up 160 points, about a full percentage point, and just a few points away from its all-time high. Now, you'd be wondering to yourself, how in the world are we near all-time highs right now, especially given what Ben Bernanke had to say yesterday, which was basically nothing. You know when someone talks for a while, but they don't actually say anything? You don't get any substance. I imagine the IRS is kind of like this in some instances, Jeff.
They are.
They say a lot of words, but nothing gets accomplished, and you have to be there to dissect what the heck they're actually trying to say. Well, Wall Street's been trying to figure out what Ben Bernanke said yesterday for quite some time. And I'll tell you the two things that stuck out to me. Hopefully it helps you try in some way. But basically, he said these two things, quote, highly accommodative monetary policy for the foreseeable future is what's needed. Now, accommodative, not usually a word that you would expect to hear from the Fed or from the government with regard to the financial markets. I mean, monetary policy. Okay, we're talking about the financial markets. That's what you're affecting with. Your monetary policy is to lower interest rates. That affects the financial markets.
Right.
Accommodative meaning what? Meaning that you'll do whatever it takes to make it good, you know? I mean, this is like this would be like if you started a business and you had a rich father and your father say, oh, well, I'll just donate however much money you need to have a good quarter. I mean, that's basically what this is. And that's what he's saying. So that would be pretty bullish. Bullish sign for stocks. Why we're probably up today. But also, he went on to say this. I'll give you a couple more. If financial conditions were to tighten to the extent that they jeopardized the achievement of our inflation and employment objectives, then we would have to push back against that. Bernanke said that. So he basically just said right there that, hey, we've done a lot of work here. We've deployed a ton of capital, trillions of dollars, to try to make this thing right. And if something jeopardizes that, we'll just pull the trigger again. We've got a printing press, guys. Bring it on. That's what I got from that. You know, we could make money happen, okay? We are money. And so that obviously very bullish for stocks as well. He did go on to say this as well, quote, I think there are some risks now that we have to pay attention to, but I think it's also the case that there are some positive factors that with some luck will generate somewhat faster growth and continued improvement in labor market conditions. And this was the curveball because he was basically saying, hey, listen, nothing's going to get in the way of this working out. But leading with that and then coming back and saying, hey, actually, things are pretty good, seems almost like a conflict of what you're trying to say. I mean, if things were really good, you wouldn't need to lead with, hey, no matter how bad it looks, we'll fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very confused folks on Wall Street, but I guess they all got together and decided it was time to hit the buy button. We're up 1% today as a result of that. Also, a pretty big ruling. Now, the Jobs Act, which, by the way, had very little to do with jobs. But the Jobs Act, which I think it's been almost 2 years since that thing passed, has one of the key points, or at least the things that I was following on it, was with regard to this ban on certain businesses being able to advertise themselves. Now, Jeff, you've been to law school. You're a board-certified tax attorney. You know a lot more about the law than me. But I can't believe that it ever existed, that there was a business that could be out there that was unable to generally advertise itself to the population. I mean, I just can't fathom who ever thought that that made sense. You can't advertise yourself? I mean, this is America. Yeah. You're supposed to be able to advertise yourself. Well,
free speech.
Right? Well, this seems to be contradicting that. The SEC has voted to lift the ban on hedge fund advertising. So for the first time, hedge funds will be allowed to advertise to the general public under a new rule, which was adopted yesterday by federal regulators. The SEC voted 4-1 to lift this decades-old ban that prevents hedge funds, private equity firms, and other private investment firms from marketing their investments to a wide audience. I have to tell you, I can't believe that was ever the case, but I'm glad they fixed it. I'm glad that it's okay now. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean you're going to start getting letters in the mail to invest money with XYZ firm? You're already getting those from Fidelity every day, or whoever it is, TD Ameritrade. You're getting those every day anyway. What's the difference? Do you think that these hedge funds are out there to steal people's money? They're still incredibly regulated by the SEC. It's unbelievable how regulated they are. You can look them up. You can find out all sorts of information about their filings. And it's all documented. I mean, it's the most highly regulated industry that exists in business. So, you know, buyer beware. Yeah, do your research. If you don't feel comfortable, don't pull the trigger. Just that simple. Also, I believe this happened late yesterday, or at least late yesterday here. The Senate failed to restore lower student loan rates. And so basically, you know, there was at least an effort put together in the Senate. However, this effort by the Senate to restore lower interest rates on student loans has failed. The White House and most Senate Democrats, you know, favored restoring interest rates on subsidized Stafford loans to 3.4% for at least another year. But lawmakers yesterday were unable to get the 60 votes needed to overcome this procedural hurdle. So basically, interest rates are double that now. They're at 6.8% for student loans. Here's an idea for you. Instead of needing Congress to get involved to, you know, influence student loan rates, why don't we set the student loan rates off of one of the market indexes, let's call it the LIBOR, plus 1% or something like that, and just leave it as an adjustable rate across the board. That way, when interest rates go down, people have student loans, they get to take advantage of that, save money. And if interest rates go up, then the government doesn't have to take a bath on giving guys, you know, interest rates that are below market value. I mean, why not do it that way? You know, why do we have to sit here and try to argue what the right interest rate is? Let's just let the market determine that. And you know what? If interest rates go way up, then that would mean that a lot of other good things are happening. That would mean that that person's student loans are probably getting them education that would allow them to make some money. You know, it would all work itself out. So I really don't understand why they're having such a hard time getting the concept of what's needed here. What's needed is something that is solid, something that that makes sense, something that people understand. And now you've got people that are going to be paying twice as much interest on student loans. It's unbelievable. Just for no reason. I mean, all of a sudden, just boom, there it is. And, you know, Congress can't get their act together. Imagine that. Well, the Supreme Court does have their act together. You know, they've been making a lot of decisions lately, Jeff.
Yeah.
And this one particularly on same-sex couples who are married, legally married, same-sex couples, was a huge one. What I want to do is kind of give a background story before we provide all of the detailed information about the benefits involved here for everyone. But how did it get to the Supreme Court? It's obviously a long process. So who was behind that? What happened to that person? And ultimately, what did they get from this?
Okay. Well, Defense of Marriage Act was passed by Congress years ago, signed by President Bush, defining marriage as between a man and a woman. And what happened was Edith Windsor, who is a widow, she was legally married. Her spouse, a woman, died with a very, very huge estate. And in the estate tax code, you are allowed to take an unlimited marital deduction. So it doesn't matter how big your estate is. It could be worth gazillions of dollars.
Is that a real amount?
Right. It's a real amount. So husband dies with a gazillion dollars, leaves everything to his wife. You have an unlimited marital deduction. There is zero estate tax due when the husband dies.
Okay.
Okay. So Mrs. Windsor, her spouse died. And her spouse left her huge estate to her. So she goes and prepares an estate tax return and says, I'm legally married. I'm the surviving spouse. I'm entitled to get this unlimited marital deduction on the estate tax return and pay no estate tax. Well, she got selected for an audit, or I should say the estate got selected for an audit, and the agent said, sorry, under DOMA, we don't recognize this as a legal marriage, and therefore you or the estate now owes over $360,000 in estate tax.
So she actually got audited in order for this all to start.
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah, so the estate tax return got audited.
Wow. What are the chances of an estate tax return getting audited?
Well, in her case, it was basically 100%. Because first of all, with the size of the estate, you can imagine if there was an estate tax of $360,000, it was a pretty sizable estate, number one. And number two, because you're taking a position that clearly on the return, it like, you know, raises an eyebrow by IRS, you knew that this return was going to be selected for an audit. So what happened was, okay, she went ahead, she paid the tax, and then she filed a claim for refund. Of course, that got denied, and she worked now this case through the courts that eventually went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that this act defining marriage as between a man and a woman was unconstitutional.
So now Edith Windsor gets a check from IRS?
Yes.
Oh, that's so
eventually
sweet.
She will.
I was
going
to say, I wonder when she gets that check. How long does it take to get that check? And can you get a direct deposit, please, on something like that? $360,000. She's probably doing okay. It sounds like the estate was pretty sizable. But at the same time, wanted to fight for what was right. This obviously took a lot of time, energy, effort on her part. But what this has done, based on this ruling, has opened up an unbelievable amount of opportunity, not just going forward, but also looking backward.
That's correct.
Coming up, we're going to tell you exactly what all those things are, how much money is on the table. We've got board-certified tax attorney Jeffrey Kahn in the studio from ConTaxLaw.com. Stick around. We'll make you smarter than everyone else.
If you would like free advice from Mr. Credit, just call or text 619-786-7853. That's 619-786-7853.
Smarter than everyone else. Joining me in the studio today, board-certified tax attorney Jeffrey Kahn, ConTaxLaw.com. So we're talking about the Supreme Court ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act, you know, giving legally married same-sex couples a tremendous opportunity, you know, both looking forward and looking back as well. So let me ask you this, Jeffrey. So let's say, you know, I'm legally married to a same-sex partner, and I've been legally married for 10 years, let's say, but haven't been able to take advantage of some of these federal benefits because of the Defense of Marriage Act. Now with this new ruling, I know going forward, I've got a lot of new planning opportunities, but what about going backward? How far back can I go and redo tax returns and maybe get the IRS to cut me a check too?
Okay. Well, that's a very good question. So assuming that you have no outstanding balance dues, you know, you and your husband, okay, the statute of limitations to claim a refund is 2 years from when the return was due. And the due date of the return is including extensions. So, for example, if in 2010 you filed your return, but you filed an extension, then that means the due date of that return was October 15th, 2011. Well, that means then that we would have until October 15th, 2013 to file an amended return, changing the filing status to married filing jointly, and getting a refund check from the government.
So 2 years is where the line is drawn.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So potentially, we could take a look at the past couple of years' tax returns.
Yes.
And you can just refile them with the new status?
Well, that's correct. What would happen is we would do amended returns, claiming the new married filing joint status on there. So we're combining income, combining deductions, and usually that will produce a refund, which now IRS gets it. They're supposed to evaluate it, process it, and issue a refund check. And that's the way how it normally would work. If, for whatever reason, the IRS is going to deny the refund, then with that denial, we would have the opportunity to appeal that decision to a federal district court.
And why would they deny the refund in a situation like that?
Okay. Well, right now, just like with Mrs. Windsor, there was no guidance out there. You had this law, which the IRS was following, that turned out to be unconstitutional. So until the IRS now puts out some kind of a pronouncement saying, okay, here's this special revenue procedure that you file your amended tax return, you claim that you're filing it under this revenue procedure, we'll cut you a check. IRS hasn't done that yet. Who knows when the IRS will do it, or even if they're going to be so quick to do it, because the clock's ticking on that statute. And if you don't file your amended return before that statute expires, you lost your opportunity to get that check back.
Okay. So the key is you basically plant your flag in the ground by filing the amended return.
That's right.
Okay. So that's where the urgency is file the amended return now. If IRS drags their feet, then we'll still have the evidence that the action was taken in enough time to qualify for the amount of money that was owed.
That is correct.
Okay. So there may still be a little bit of an uphill battle with regard to this. But at the same time, I have a feeling, and I know, you know the IRS better than me, but I have a feeling they're going to be getting a lot of amended tax returns.
They are.
And I don't think they're going to want to kick that can down the road. I think they're going to want to get that stuff off their plate, issue their refund checks, and be done with it.
Right. And this procedure would even benefit same-sex couples where there was an audit. And as a result of that audit, additional monies now got paid into IRS. Or let's say there's now a balance due that the person is making monthly payments to. We have the opportunity now to file an amended return, a joint return. It's going to show lower tax liability. Who knows? It could end up wiping out that balance due.
Okay, that was my next question. Because what if you owe money, you know, and you've got this due balance, but now there's a way for you, instead of having to come up with the money, to go back and amend returns, and that'll just cancel out what you owe.
That's right. That's what could happen.
Wow.
Or at least reduce the amount owed.
Yeah, or maybe you have enough there to get a refund instead of owing IRS. That'd be a sweet deal right there.
That would be sweet.
That's the one. That's the one I want to help people find today. Here's the great news. Whether it's, you know, you're legally married same-sex couple and you want to find out what your opportunities are, or I've been talking to a lot of people lately who just owe the IRS some money, whether it be, you know, employment taxes because they're a business owner, or whether it be, you know, federal income taxes. You have the opportunity, as a listener of this program, to get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan. That's a $500 value. It's 100% free with board-certified tax attorney Jeffrey Kahn. Just call this number, 866-494-6829. 866-494-6829, or go to contaxlaw.com. Con is just K-A-H-N, taxlaw.com. So, Jeff, you know, what is it that you would do to help me with this? So you're a tax attorney. So does that mean, I mean, will you help me with the returns? I mean, what exactly will you do if I need your help with something like this?
Basically, the couple would come to me. You would bring with you, let's say, like your last 3 years worth of returns. Mm-hmm. Now I can go ahead, I could do an analysis, and I could see how much money you would get back or how much of an existing balance can be reduced by filing amended returns. I would also provide you with advice in terms of what other federal benefits, whether it be tax, whether it be retirement account related, estate related, what other federal benefits you guys should be pursuing so that you're on the same playing field as a traditional married couple, you know, husband and wife. So it could be you guys have retirement accounts. Clearly, there's tax benefits available that when you're leaving a retirement account to a spouse that you're legally married to, you know, there's definite tax advantages there.
Yeah. And then the other crazy thing about that particular day and those rulings was that they also shot down Proposition 8, you know, which was the ban on same-sex marriages in the state of California. So that also became available. So now if let's say a couple, same-sex couple was not legally married before. They would have had to have been legally married somewhere else, right, since it wasn't legal in the state of California.
Yes. So in other words, if a couple got married in, let's say, like Maine, which allows same-sex marriages, okay, that's a legal marriage. And so that, even though, let's say, like they moved out to California, they'd be able to file married jointly on their federal returns.
So that would qualify you.
That's
to be
correct.
Able to go back. Okay. All right. So that's good to know. Now, is there any instance in which it may not make sense to file the return married joint?
Usually what I do when I'm counseling couples, and this could be husband and wife, doesn't have to be same sex. But clearly, if there is one party who does have a tax liability to the IRS, well, I'd want to keep the other spouse as an innocent spouse. Because when you file jointly, both spouses now are joint and severally liable. So that means the IRS can go after both spouses' wages, bank accounts, assets, to satisfy this joint debt. So that's where I would have a little hesitation in automatically throwing a couple into a married filing joint status.
So if you are married to someone who has liability with the IRS or tax liability, and it's not a good idea for you to file a joint return with them.
May not be. Yeah.
It could be something where you want to distance yourself from that particular circumstance.
That's correct.
Yeah, this stuff is just so complex when it comes to taxes. Great to have Jeffrey Kahn on your team, board-certified tax attorney. He'll give you a free consultation if you just simply call this number, mention Mr. Credit, and you can get a free tax resolution plan. That resolution plan, $500 value, it's 100% free. 866-494-6829. 866-494-6829. Coming up, we'll tell you more about how this ruling can help you save money. Don't send the IRS any more money than you have to. We'll make you smarter than everyone else. Stick around.
If you would like free advice from Mr. Credit, just call or text 619-786-7853. That's 619-786-7853.
Credit.org, where you can download the life plan for free. Read all the articles we've been writing every day, right in there every day, trying to make you smarter than everyone else. We got board certified tax attorney Jeffrey Kahn in the studio today. So, you know, Jeff, the Supreme Court ruling striking down the DOMA provision that, you know, same sex marriages are constitutional and should be allowed. Now providing opportunities from a tax perspective for legally married same-sex couples to get tremendous benefits looking forward and looking backward even a couple of years. Is this something, and I know you can help me with this. Now, you've said, you know, you'll help me with the returns, you do the analysis and look at all this stuff for me, but is this something I can do on my own? I mean, if it's just simply a matter of changing and doing an amended return and changing it to, you know, married filing jointly, You know, is this something I could just fire that off on my own?
Well, not right now, because there's no guidance at the IRS level in processing these types of returns. So what's going to happen is basically you're in the same situation as Mrs. Windsor, where you're going to, you know, now be have to fight the IRS to get the benefits that you deserve. And as, you know, smart people know, you know, when you're you have a dispute with the IRS and you need to fight them, you hire somebody like me who knows how to deal with them, what channels to go through, the arguments to make, and that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. So that would be that would pretty much just be kind of lobbing something out into the universe then. If I just filed that return in that fashion, would they even recognize it? Or is it possible that they would just shoot it right back to me?
They could shoot it back to you. They could just send you a letter saying, no, we're denying it. And then it's like, okay, well, what do I do? I'm not an attorney. I have no idea how to start a case in court. And, you know, think about it. If you did start a case in court and represented yourself, who's going to be on the other side? Experienced IRS trial attorneys. You're going to go up against experienced IRS trial attorneys? Come on.
I certainly don't want to. I don't want to have anything to do with court and the IRS. I'm good. I'll take my chances somewhere else. So what about state taxes? State taxes changed at all with this ruling, or is there any type of amendments there?
Well, not really, because, for example, California recognizes legally married couples. If you're legally married, you know, same-sex couple, you filed a joint return with the state. So there would be no change, you know, at the state level, you know, in that regard. I guess if you lived in a state that had state income taxes, your same-sex couple legally married from another state, and let's say like you moved to Arizona, okay? You know, Arizona for now wouldn't recognize that as a legal marriage. So I guess just like Mrs. Windsor challenged, you know, the constitutionality of this law, those same types of battles could end up, you know, in these other states as well.
Gotcha. We're probably going to see that now. I mean, the Supreme Court has a ruling out.
Yeah.
So that makes it a little bit easier to, you know, be confident enough to go and challenge something like
right.
that, which I think is going to take place. What other benefits are there now available to legally married same-sex couples?
Well, next big area would be in the retirement, you know, assets area. So first of all, Social Security, you know, the surviving spouse in a legal marriage is going to be entitled to get the first spouse's to die benefits tacked on,
yeah,
you know, to hers.
That's big.
IRAs, you know, you've got the ability that when a spouse dies, the surviving spouse can basically take that IRA and roll it over into his or her IRA and continue to defer income tax. That's now going to be available as well. Think about it. Pensions. You have husband has a pension, dies. Surviving husband now is going to have the same benefits of that pension as if he was a woman.
Wow. And those can be drastically huge benefits. I mean, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in difference, as we found out with Miss Windsor.
Yes.
So it was a $360,000 difference there. I imagine healthcare has got to be on that list, too.
Healthcare, too. That's right. Because now, you know, you're recognized as, you know, legal spouse. And therefore, you know, you should be covered accordingly in the group plan or however that's set up.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things, and I know that, Jeff, you work really hard to help people find all of these benefits that are available. If it's the case that you're looking to get the quick buck, filing some amended returns, totally get that. You should file those immediately so that you can make it clear that you took that stance within the allotted time frame before it expires. That makes a lot of sense to do. But there might be a lot of other benefits available as well. Simply call this number to make a free appointment, a free consultation with Jeffrey Kahn, board-certified tax attorney, 866-494-6829 is the number. It's toll-free, 866-494-6829, or go to contaxlaw.com. So Jeff, I've been hearing from a lot of people lately who have tax debts of some sort. And in those circumstances, they range a lot, you know, from a small amount, what I would call a small amount, something around $10,000, you know, right around there.
Right.
$20,000, $30,000. I think there's a lot of people who are in that range of what they owe IRS and in some cases the state as well. And at what point does it make sense for someone to engage in using a board certified tax attorney like yourself? I mean, what dollar figure does it start to make sense for everyone involved, for them to use you and for you to work the case for them?
I would say around $15,000 would be kind of the threshold, that once you get up to that point, it now makes sense to, you know, contact me and see what can be done.
Yeah, so $15,000 minimum. You're below that. What would you recommend for someone who owes IRS $6,000 or something and just can't afford it all in one lump sum? What is there anything that person can do, you know, on their own since it doesn't make sense for you?
Yeah, well, that person can call up the IRS, and usually at those low amounts, an installment agreement could be set up, you know, over the phone. IRS wouldn't be setting up an offer and compromise or settlement over the phone, because you have to go through all the paperwork on that. But to get a payment plan, that's something that could be set up on the phone. It's almost like a no paper type loan.
Yeah. So they would just say, all right, okay, you can pay $400 a month. We'll take it. And we'll set up this deal where you can pay that this many times and then you'll be paid up.
Right.
Okay. So if you owe a small amount, still, you know, this is a high priority debt. Okay. Tax debt, student loan debt. These debts are high priority debts because you can't get away from these things. You know, there are certain circumstances when you could include IRS tax debt in a bankruptcy, for example. Mm-hmm. They have to fit into a small window with that. Student loans, no such thing. So, you know, these are high priority debts and something you should take care of. For the people who have the $20,000, $30,000, they seem to be stretched out over the course of a number of different years. And it's just kind of accumulated to that point. I've also heard from a lot of people that are dealing with, you know, they're in a cycle where they're just not paying tax. They're not paying.
Right.
This is a scary situation to put yourself in. You're going year to year. You're not paying tax. You have to pay the piper at some point. You have to pay the taxes. It's only going to get more complicated in your life if you don't take care of this type of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, give me an example, Jeff, of something that is typical in your world right now that you're seeing a lot of that maybe we can help educate people about with regard to that.
Okay. Well, people come to me where they've got old tax liabilities, and I take a look at the liabilities, and I don't assume that what the IRS says you owe is really what you owe. Now, it's true, whatever outstanding balance the IRS is showing, they're going to accrue interest, they're going to accrue penalties. In some cases, those penalties can be abated. But I start from the very first step, and that is the amount of the tax that they say you owe accurate? Now, I've seen cases where the person didn't file a tax return. And so what happened? The government put together one for him. And as a result, the liability was a lot higher than had a return be prepared and submitted to the IRS. So clearly in a situation like that, we're going to want to go ahead and file a return. I'm going to be writing the IRS to make sure that they accept that return and that they adjust the outstanding balance accordingly and rework all the interest and penalty computations.
Ah, and that stuff really adds up.
That's right.
Talk about compounding interest on the IRS tax debts.
That's right. And that kind of a fight is a lot easier and a lot quicker to do with the IRS than to do a fight where, okay, you say I owe this amount of money, but I can't afford to pay it. And now you got to go through, let's say, like a 9-month long process, submit all this paperwork to try and get a discount on this liability.
Yeah. And that, you know, you make a really good point with that, because so many times people have got tax debt and they're not even thinking about, is this actually what I owe? So is that kind of step one for you, is to go, hey, let's make sure this is the right amount that you actually owe before we start talking about sending money to the IRS?
That is correct. That's got to be the first step. Otherwise, you're just shooting yourself in the foot at the negotiating table when IRS says you owe $100,000, but in fact, you owe more like $10,000.
Amazing stuff. Here's the great news. You don't have to try to battle the IRS on your own. In fact, you shouldn't. It's just too scary, and they're too tricky. Board-certified tax attorney Jeffrey Kahn will give you a free consultation for listening to the show and a free tax resolution plan. It's a $500 value. It's 100% free. Take this number down. Give it to someone who you know needs it. 866-494-6829 is the number. 866-494-6829. Go to contaxlaw.com. Stick around. We'll make you smarter than everyone else.
If you would like free advice from Mr. Credit, just call or text 619-786-7853. That's 619-786-7853.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out. Mr. Credit here. Stick around. Top of the hour. Big Mac, Ryan White in the studio. Always do a great show, those guys. Right now, we've got the CEO, owner, founder, creator of Epic Fighting, which is a mixed martial arts. It's an amateur mixed martial arts fighting circuit here in San Diego. Jason Stewart. Jason, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Thanks for having me again, Derek.
Hey, what's up, buddy? The fight's tomorrow, man.
Fights are tomorrow. I'm pumped up, man. I'm getting chill bumps. I'm thinking myself.
Epic 19, your 19th show. This is amazing. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for, you know, we did a ticket giveaway last week, and you hooked up everybody who requested tickets and not just the first five pair that you said you were going to do. So I just want to let you know we really appreciate that, you hooking up our listeners for free tickets.
Yeah, I was in UFC and it was so packed over there I couldn't call in like I was supposed to because the lines were down. So, yeah, I felt bad, gave away some tickets, and I'm ready to give away some more if you got them to give away.
Oh, well, you want to give away tickets, we'll give away some tickets. How many tickets?
Let's give away some tickets.
How many more tickets are we talking about?
Five pairs.
Five pair tickets. So another five pair of tickets. Now,
yeah, each pair is worth $60.
Wow. So those are really good ones. Now, the events, one of the things I've noticed a lot about going to the Epic Fight events is that they are continually to get more and more kid-friendly, which was something that you wouldn't say, let's say, for a UFC event. You wouldn't want to bring your kids to UFC. But, you know, the Epic Fights are very kid-friendly. Is that something that you have done intentionally? Is that something that you're looking in for the future of Epic, to make it a family event?
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, my dad's saying that he used to always preach and still does to this day is idle time is the devil's workshop. And what he meant by that is if you're sitting around doing nothing, chances are you're going to get in trouble. So you have to have an interest. You have to have a hobby, preferably something physical. And I think that, you know, MMA is a great physical activity to get into. In all of the martial arts that you know, any martial art that a kid gets interested in is going to help him at the very least become a fan and be interested in following the sport and, best case scenario, participate in either wrestling or boxing or jiu-jitsu or taekwondo or something to give the kids self-discipline. So I think that we're creating a lot of fans and we're getting a lot of kids to enroll in the sport. And I've always said that you know, everyone needs to join some type of an MMA gym, whether you're an adult or a child. If nothing else, it's the discipline and the exercise.
Yeah, no question. That's Jason Stewart. He's the CEO of Epic Fighting, epicfighting.com, mixed martial arts organization for amateur fighters. Now, in the last Epic, at Epic 18, your daughter fought. And that was pretty amazing. Now, she's what, 13 years old?
Yeah, she was 13. She just turned 14 on the 4th of July.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Congratulations to her for that. Now, that was awesome. She fought another a boy who was 13 years old.
she fought Jordan, who Jordan is a beast. He's a tough kid. I just said it earlier today that he'll probably be in the UFC, you know, right when he turns 18. I mean, this kid is very well-rounded, and he's very, very skilled. You know, and they kind of know each other's tricks. You know, Jasmine knows a lot of his tricks, where most kids he'd be able to catch him in a submission or finish the fight pretty early. Jasmine knows a lot of his tricks, knew how to neutralize him, and she was bigger and stronger because, you know, girls have their growth spurts before boys, so it wasn't like when they were younger and they were the same size. She got a little bigger than him, but I can't take anything away from Jordan. That kid's a beast, and he'll be fighting. If it was anyone in his size, you know, it might have been different.
Well, yeah, I know you don't want to give your daughter any props here for some reason because you want her to keep working hard or something.
But Stewart, buy the Jasmine Stewart T-shirts. They're going to be selling them tonight. And she worked really hard for that fight. And, yeah, I can't take anything away from her either.
She won decisively.
When you're a guy and you get submitted by a boy, you know, when you get submitted by a girl, it can hurt your ego.
Yeah, well, I think it's just going to make him train harder, but she won that fight decisively. She won it quickly. She took him down, took his back, and choked him out. That's what happened. So that was pretty amazing. Now, is she going to be fighting again on this card?
You know, we haven't been able to find her an opponent. If anyone
imagine
else
that.
we had a guy who was bigger than her. She was like a year. He was like a year older. And then we went to the gym to check him out, and we thought it'd be a good fight because they used to fight each other in practice and stuff. And this kid turned into a man. I mean, he's like he's like my height now. And I was like, okay, that'd be a good match for me, but maybe not Jasmine. And so, we were looking for someone for her to fight, but we might not find one. I'm not sure. But we do have a legitimate female MMA fight on the card tomorrow.
You do? Let's talk about the card. Actually, I want to make this make it available. So we got five more pair of tickets. This is tomorrow night, beginning at 6 p.m. is when the doors open. The fights will go pretty much all night up until midnight. It's at the Four Point Sheraton, right?
11:30. Yep.
Okay, so at the Four Point Sheraton off Arrow Drive, it's right there in Central San Diego. We got five pair of tickets. Here's what you need to do. The tickets will get emailed to you. So all you need to do is text the helpline. We need your name and your email address. That's it. We can send you the tickets. First five people are going to get them. Text your name, your email address to this number, 619-786-7853. So you need your name, email address to 619-786-7853. Jason, tell me about the fight. So you've got a legitimate girl-on-girl fight happening. What else have you got?
Yeah, we've got a girl fight. George Hernandez, who is a really tough guy, he fights out of Fit MMA downtown, and he also trains at the San Diego Combat Academy. He always has a ton of fans. Bruno Machado, the Brazilian, straight from Brazil, he trains now at Victory MMA. He was very dominant in his last few fights. He won the belt at the last Epic fight. And so Thomas Watson's going to try to defend it. He's 3-0. Thomas Watson's 3-0. So we'll see how that goes down. Julio Aguilera from Team Quest should be fighting Joey Bryant Soca. And I know that Joey's last fight was a battle of the leg kicks. And so that was always fun to watch. The church boy, David Judd, fighting out of the Rock Church. For those of you who don't know, the Rock Church has an MMA team called Team Right Cross, and David Judd's one of the toughest guys on it, trained by Keeley. He's fighting Jacoby Powell, who comes from Boss Rutten's gym.
Wow.
So that's a candidate for fight of the night right there. I can't wait to see that fight. And then, of course, Cameron Tor, who was on the radio the other day, he partook in the youngest MMA fight of sanctioned history. He fought a day or two after his 18th birthday, and his opponent who fought him was about 3 or 4 days after his 18th birthday. And so he's fighting a guy on this card as well named Razul Ware.
Very cool. Well, this is amazing stuff. If you haven't been to an Epic event, you should definitely check it out, epicfighting.com. We have five pair of tickets to give away. The first five people who text their name and email address, 619-786-7853. That's Jason Stewart, who's the CEO of Epic Fighting. Jason, looking forward to tomorrow, my friend. We will see you there, and I appreciate all the generosity with the tickets.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And shouts out to Heather Hyatt for saving all these spikes. She's making the spike card happen, and I can't wait to watch it.
All right. Great stuff. That's Jason Stewart, CEO, Epic Fighting, epicfighting.com. We got 5 pair of tickets for you. Name and email address is what we need. Text to 619-786-7853. And just in case you're thinking about getting in the cage with the IRS, I'm going to go ahead and recommend that you don't do that, and that you send in an accomplished fighter for you, that being board-certified tax attorney Jeffrey Kahn, who joined me today. Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming in all the way from East San Francisco Bay Area.
Thanks, Derek, for having me.
Great to have you as always. Stick around. Big Mac, Ryan White coming up next. I'll be back again tomorrow at noon to make you smarter than everyone else. Have a safe day.